Well, y'all haven't seen me up here in a while, have you? I'm glad to be here, glad to be saved and sanctified and determined to live for the Lord. It's not just something that I'm doing, it's something I want to do. Thank the Lord for that. Desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We want to turn, first of all, to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and we want to start reading at the 44th verse. Matthew 13, verse 44. And we're going to read down to maybe the 46th verse, a couple of verses there. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I want us to look at two things. One of the things here is, the first one is a man, just a regular man. It doesn't say what he did. It doesn't say what his occupation is, but a person that is just an average person, it would appear to me in this particular scripture. That this person sees value. They have an understanding that they see this field. They happen maybe to stumble across something. They know that there is oil underneath here, or there's gold, or there's something valuable about this particular field. And he realizes that he has an understanding that if I buy this field, all of it is mine. I'm not going to tell anybody about it at this point because I don't want somebody to go in and buy it before I do. But he understands the value of the thing that he's about to buy. So he weighs the value of this field and the treasure that's in this field. I don't know what it is, but the treasure that's in this field, he weighs the value of that treasure against everything that he has. And when he sees everything that he has, he says, you know what? That field is worth more than everything that I've got. So what he does is he goes and he sells everything that he has, and then he comes in and he says, I want to buy your field. He lays down the money, he buys the field, now the treasure belongs to him. We have in America what's called mineral rights. So what that basically is, when you buy a piece of property, everything that's on that property is conveyed with that property. But do you know that some folks can hold on to the mineral rights? So whatever goes down, I mean, if there's oil struck on that, it's not yours. It belongs to somebody else. But this particular man, and this is before that particular time, and I'm sure rich folks had a way of making certain that they stayed, they held on to what was beneficial for him. I don't know why that came about. But here's the point, that this man here made the determination that whatever's in this field belongs to me once I buy it. So I'm willing to give up everything to own this field. Now, that's a man that it appears to be, from the scripture, just an average person, not somebody that has any great ability or whatnot. And so all of us, what this tells us is all of us have an understanding of what value is, what's valuable to us. Now, to somebody else, it may not be valuable because they don't know what value is. They don't have an understanding of what the value is. But then the next one is a merchant man. This is a man that trades. He sells and he trades. This is how he makes his living. And so in order for us to make, for him to be able to make a good living, he has to know what the value of the things that he's selling is, right? So in other words, he says, I'm looking for a certain thing. I'm looking for one pearl of great price. And when I find that pearl of great price, I'm willing to sell. And he found it. I'm willing to sell everything that I have. Now, this is a man that clearly understands value. And so he said, I'm going to sell everything that I have, and I'm going to buy that one thing. Now, whatever he has, this man is probably a rich man. He's a merchant. Now, he's going to sell everything for this one thing, this one pearl of great price. Now, what are they saying that this is likened unto? It's likened unto the kingdom of heaven. And what that tells us is that when we see truth, when we see the kingdom of heaven, when we see the value that is in living for the Lord, we're willing to sell everything that we have. We should be. Anybody that truly sees the value in living for the Lord will sell everything that they have. And they'll buy it. All right? There are times, and we've probably all been in those kinds of situations, there are times that we have asked somebody to come and fix something for us, and maybe an air conditioner or something that we felt was very we needed it taken care of. And that person charged us, it took them 3 minutes to do it, and they charged us $500. Have you ever been in a situation like that? They charged us what you thought was just too much money. It took you 3 minutes to do it. You went in there and you stuck this little wire back into it, or you tapped on it, as one person said, you tapped on this with a piece of hammer, with a little hammer, and it started working again, and you charged me $500, you should give me a discount, right? No, that man had some understanding of what what value is, right? And so what he did, he says, all right, the value is not in me tapping on it with a hammer or putting the wire in. The value was in me having the knowledge of what was wrong. So you're not paying for me tapping on the handle with a hammer. You're paying for me knowing that my knowledge, the valuable knowledge that I went to school for, that I did all the things, went to trade school, did all these things, and I know what's wrong with your situation. Right. Yeah, it took me 3 minutes to do it, but you couldn't have done it. Now, the value was in the knowledge. The value was in the understanding. The value was in knowing what to do in this circumstance, in this situation. All right? And I'm charging you for that. Now, when we look at heaven, all of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. There's nobody here that's exempt from that. And when we look at the fact that I'm going to have to spend eternity somewhere, I need to know what the value is of this salvation that these Christian people, that these saints are presenting to me. And so what we have to do as men and women of God, we have to show the people not only the value of living for the Lord on this side of eternity, but the value of it on the other side as well. There's a great value. You know, one of the great values of living for the Lord is that there are things that we don't have to deal with. That when you live for the Lord and you live right, there are things that you don't have to suffer. There are consequences. There are memories that you don't have that other people have to fight. There are temptations. When you have, when you make an investment in sin, sin is going to bring a dividend. It's going to bring a return on your investment, isn't it? And not only after you have gotten away from sin, but there are things that you have to deal with once you get saved that happen in sin. And there's still some return on that investment of sin that you did. And so when we look at that, what I try to do with my children, or what I try to do with other individuals that are younger, I try to give them a little advice. And the advice that I want to give them is, I've made some mistakes in my life, and I want to keep you from having to make the same mistakes that I made. So I want to tell you what to do, what not to do in various circumstances, because I have experience that way. And that's really where we are as older people. We have experiences in certain things, and our job is to try to navigate through life ourselves, and then try to get other people not to make these awful mistakes. And everybody that is in sin is making horrible mistakes. All right? Why? Because they don't see the value of salvation. They don't see it. And we need to see the value of it. Whether we're merchants, whether we were raised in the truth, and whether we not weren't. Whether we were raised in the church or whether we were not. It does not matter. It is that there is value in the things of God, and we need to understand that. All right? All right, let's go a little farther. Let's go to Luke, the 18th chapter, and start reading the 18th verse. Yes. Certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." Now, what does that mean? Jesus Christ says, "Why are you calling me good? There's none that's good save one." Now, just a little side note here on that particular scripture. What that scripture is talking about is there is no such thing as good without God. And God is the source of all good. And this is what Jesus was pointing this young man back to. That we see things, and sometimes we look at situations, and the world has redefined what good is. And so what this does is the Lord points us in this young ruler, he points him back, no, the only source of good, if God is not the originating source, it's not good. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how good, I put it in quotation, doesn't matter how good it looks, if God is not the originating source of it, it's not good. So he's telling them, why are you calling me good? I'm not the one that's good. The only, what gives me good, what gives me benefit is the fact that I am of God. I am from God. I come from God. And so in the same way, what gives us, what makes us good is not our own goodness. It is that the source is of God. So he brings this point out to this young man here, all right? He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, all right? Continue. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. So this man is coming, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. So this was a good person. I put that in quotations. This was, if you were an individual that was his neighbor, he would have been an upstanding neighbor. He would have been a benefit to society. He was in a position that he was ruler in society, that there were others that looked up to this man because of who he was and what he was and what he was able to do and how much of an upstanding young man he was. And as a result of his upstandingness, he was a ruler. All right? And so the Lord saw this. And so the man said, I've done all these things from my youth up. So it must mean, and I believe that this is one of the reasons that the Lord told this man, why are you calling me good? Because this man probably, in his own mind, thought he was good. So sometimes the Lord has to wipe those things out of our mind before he can insert something else. So he had to wipe it out of this guy, young man's mind that he was, that here I am the Son of God, a good master. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he looked up to the Lord, good master. And then the Lord had to say, listen, in the Lord's mind, the Lord knew what this man thought about himself. Well, I, you know, maybe like the Pharisee, I've done all these things. I've done from my youth up. I'm in pretty good standing. But he knew that there was something else wrong. The man knew it. In one place, the man said, what lack I yet? There's still something missing. So a person can be a good person, quotations. A person can be an upstanding person. They can follow the commandments and still not have what it takes to have eternal life. You know, there are some people that just don't want to do wrong. I mean, you know, you come to a point and you can look at it and you can see, you know what, it's not in my best interest to go in that direction, so I'm not going to go in that direction. I've seen the heartache, I've seen the difficulty of people that have gone down that road, and there's a little bit of pleasure. Don't get me wrong, sin has a little bit of pleasure, but it's not worth it. There's heartache afterwards. There's something afterwards where it's a tough pill to swallow afterwards, and there are thorns and there are things about it that I wish there are all anybody that's gotten out of sin wish they'd never been in it. If they know the value of salvation and they know how detrimental sin has been to their lives, they would never do it. And this is why we as saints of God, we run in the opposite direction of temptation. We run in the opposite direction of sin because we know that salvation is much more valuable than the sin that we committed in our past. All right? So he says, so the Lord needed to wipe that out of his mind that he was a good person. I've done all these things from my youth up. And the Lord says, what did he say? When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell everything that you've got, distribute unto the poor, thou shalt have treasure into heaven. So, I don't know, the scripture says he was a rich man. I don't know, who's the richest man now? It's not Bill Gates, it's the man that owns Amazon, right? What's his name? Bezos, or whatever his name is. He's a rich man. Now, what can you imagine the Lord coming to him? I don't know what his stand is with the Lord. It's not, none of my business necessarily unless the Lord brings us in contact with one another. But I don't know what his stand is with the Lord. But can you imagine the Lord telling him, listen, Jeff, you want eternal life? I want you to sell everything. Sell Amazon, sell your houses, sell your cars, sell everything that you have. Now, it's a little different when he tells us to sell it because we don't have much in our bank accounts, do we? But most of us, we'd have to think about it. We'd have to think about it. Well, you're going to sell everything, sell your house, sell your car, sell everything, and now you're going to have eternal life. If you knew the value of eternal life, you'd do it. If you knew the value of it, if you understood that this is far more valuable, because listen, I don't know how old the man is. He's in his 50s probably, and you know, he's got another 20, 30 years to live, and probably 10 or 15 of those are good years. The rest of them are all downhill from there. But in heaven, in eternity, I'm going to be there forever. And so now I have the privilege of being as rich as the Amazon man here and over on the other side. Yes. Far richer than he is. Laying up treasures in heaven, because those are far greater than the treasures on this earth. And these treasures on this earth, we can only enjoy them for a few minutes, for a few moments, for a few years. Old people, have you ever thought about rich old people? The other day I saw, I think it was Eden, I don't know what it was on, some little saying on it, it said, health is wealth. I think it was on something that I was, maybe some almond milk or something. It says, health is wealth. It's talking about your health and whatnot. Had you thought about how if you're an old person and you're in your 80s, that you're whatever. Now, listen, 80's not as old as it used to be. When I was 30, it was really old, but now it's not so old. You can still get around. It's the new 70. I don't know what. But my father, I was telling my father, Linda's going up to take care of him. I said, you're going to be taking care of her. He'll be 90 this coming month, and she's still in her barely 60. I said, but he's getting around really well. So, I mean, he's got good genes, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord giving my father some good health. But ultimately, if you're older, you don't enjoy the things that you enjoyed when you were in your 20s and 30s. So you got all this money, but the things that were once important to you, they're no longer as important to you as they were, right? And the things that you once enjoyed, you don't even have the capacity to enjoy them anymore, all right? And now you're only in your 70s, 80s or whatever. I don't enjoy, in my 50s, I don't enjoy the things that I enjoyed in my 30s. I can't. I feel my age sometimes. And some things that were important to me 20 years ago are not important to me today. So things change. Our lives change. And so we have to understand that. And so ultimately speaking, what we're saying is, when you get older and you can't enjoy those things, what about when you get to heaven? When you get to heaven, you're going to be there throughout all eternity. You'll be able to enjoy whatever it is you want to enjoy. So what I look at sometimes, this is how I make a mental take. If the devil comes and presents whatever temptation he wants to present to you, and what you say, you know what, if I'm not doing that now because I know it's wrong. I believe this is not what the Lord wants me to do right now. But when I get to heaven, I don't have to resist anything. I can do whatever I want to do. I can go where I want to go. Nobody's going to be monitoring me. I've already made it. I made it through the gates. I can go explore. I can do whatever I want to do. That's far more valuable to me today than doing what I want to do now. Because I've only got maybe 20, 30 more years to do what I want to do now. And then I've got eternity to deal with. And so what I want is, Lord, I want to be in eternity doing what I want to do. I'm willing to make the sacrifices today. I'm willing to do that because it's just another 20 or 30 years that I've got to make those sacrifices. Just a little while longer that I may not even be that long, maybe 20 or 30 minutes or days. But the whole point is, it's valuable to me. Heaven is valuable to me. It's the most valuable thing. Eternal life is the most valuable thing that I possess right now. And I got to do everything in my power to make certain that it's protected. What do we do? You know, you see the structure of our bodies. You see how we have a rib cage here, right? And that rib cage protects the vital organs, doesn't it? Why? Because there's life in there. And if something happens to the life that's on the inside of here, then that life drains out. The blood and all that, it drains out. Then we're, if all of that, we protect our life. So the body protects life, right? And so what we're trying to say is, if the body does that, and we're trying to protect life, if somebody comes in a particular area and there's gunshots, what's going to happen? There is instinctively that we're not going to look around and see who starts shooting. We're all going to hit the floor, aren't we? Why do we hit the floor? Because we're better off. We're trying to preserve life. We'll do whatever it does. It doesn't matter how you're in your nice high heels, you're all dressed up and all this other kind of thing. You're all nice, but all of us are going to hit the floor. And we're not going to care how, this is Miss So-and-so. She hit the floor? Yes, she hit the floor. You know why? Trying to preserve life. Now, we've got to do the same thing for eternal life. We've got to preserve it. There are going to be things that come our way that are going to threaten it. There are going to be things that happen to us that the enemy is going to present to us that are going to threaten our eternal life. And we've got to do whatever it takes. And what do we do? When the devil does it, we hit the floor too. There's nothing wrong with humility, is it? When there are things that are too much, when the devil starts shooting, and he starts shooting his darts and his arrows at us, and he starts to present temptations, what do we do? What is the best thing for us to do? Hit the floor. Prostrate before the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm not too proud. I want to live for you. I've got to preserve my eternal life. May the Lord help us. All right? Okay, what lack I yet? Go and sell all that I had. And what did the man say? He went away sorrowful because he had. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" So how hardly shall they? Now, it didn't say that Job was a rich man. He was the richest man in all the land. So the Lord does not say that a person that is rich cannot go into the kingdom of heaven. But the requirement is that you sell everything that you have. All right? Or if the Lord takes it. Now, what happened with Job? The Lord took it. What did Job say? How dare you do it, Lord? No, he said, the Lord gave. The Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job did not, in all of this, Job cursed not, nor charged God foolishly. Why? Because he had it in his heart that he understood the value of his relationship with the Lord. He understood that that was a far greater value than the goats and the sheep and the camels and all the riches that he had and all the servants. The relationship that he had with the Lord was far greater than that. When his wife comes to him and she says, "Well, curse God and die. Why are you going through all of this?" He said, "You talk like a foolish woman. God has given me all of this thing, and shall I not accept the good and not evil at the hand of the Lord? Should I not accept that?" He understood the value of this great salvation. I don't care about those. Those things I count all but dross, Paul said. It's dross. I don't want that. It's not important. The things of this world, your house, you may have a beautiful, some of you have a very nice homes. It doesn't matter. It's going to be here when you die. You might die inside that house, but that house is going to stay right there. And you're going to go to be with the Lord. So it's not important. Got nice new cars out here. Beautiful cars. Some of you, I wish I could drive some of your cars. But let me tell you, that doesn't matter, does it? Some of you have really nice bank accounts, much better than mine. That's okay. And I'm happy for you. But that doesn't matter. What matters is the value of your relationship with the Lord. That's important, isn't it? I've got a good relationship with the Lord. I value that more than I value anything. Anything. All right, let's go a little farther. Let's go to Luke, the 14th chapter, start at the 25th verse, Luke 14, 25. All right, so there's a lot of people. You know what? One of the things that happens is that we are living now, we're living in a time where Christianity is pretty popular, isn't it? Fairly popular, and then there's a waning away. But, I mean, everybody lets you go to the church of your choice and do the things that you want to do. If you want to serve that God, you can. If you want to serve the God that people say, I say this, what people say. If you want to serve, but let me say what I say. We serve the one true God. Now, there are a lot of folks that serve a lot of other gods with a small g. But we serve the one true God, and you can serve anyone you want. And what's happening in our generation today is that one is just as good as the other, people are saying. But it's not. We have to understand the value of the one true God. He's not the same as Buddha. He's not the same as the Hindu religion. He's not the same as all the other religions combined. He's the one true God. We have to understand that. And that's what we are buying. We're selling everything. I'm willing to sell it all. I'm willing to sell my reputation of what people think of me. I'm willing to sell my temporal thing, but I'm willing to sell everything that there is about me that I consider valuable to gain this, because this is far more value. My salvation is far more valuable. Salvation of Christ is far more valuable. All right, continue. There went great multitudes with him. Yes, and he turned. He said, turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It's not a... It's impossible for him to be my disciple. If he tries to come, and so he had all these multitudes that were following him, and this great multitude that appreciate what he was saying and all of this, but some people like to hear a good speech. Some people come because they like the entertainment. Some people come because they heard about the fishes and loaves and they want to see him do another miracle. And they heard that that was the best fish that they've ever eaten in their life. That was the best bread. I don't know. It was something different about the bread. Whatever it was, they were following him for whatever reason. And now he turned to him and said, listen, I want y'all to understand something. This is just not a simple, easy thing. You've got to give up everything that you've got. If you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, your wife, your own life, the very thing that's most important to you, if you don't hate that, you cannot be my disciple. You don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're at odds with my brothers and sisters? No, it means that you love them much less than you love the Lord. All right? And in comparison to how you love the Lord, you'll release them before you'll release the Lord. All right? Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. So it's not even an option. You can't be the disciple of the Lord if you don't sell everything that you have. It's all or nothing. If you want the Lord, he says, all right, I'm here for you, and I'm your all and in all. I can do what I'm everything that you need. I'll supply all of your needs. Not only am I everything, but I'll make certain you have everything that you need. How David said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You know, the Lord supplies his own. He says, lo, I'll be with you. All the way to the end, the Lord's going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. You believe that? I believe it too. We've got to hold on to it. That's valuable. The Word of God is of great value to us, isn't it? Lord, help me to value it like I need to so that I won't sell it. We heard that in Sunday school this morning. It said, buy the truth and sell it not. What is truth? Is it just a little doctrine that a group of people put together? No, it's the reality of God's Word. It's reality. There's one scripture that talks about, I believe in John, that says, the Lord is seeking true worshipers, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? In spirit and in truth. There are a lot of people today in congregations that are far greater than ours here, and there are, this is what they had, this amount of folks are the ushers. And we're preaching to the ushers, so to speak, usher board. They've got thousands of people or whatever it is, but are they preaching the truth of God's Word? Are they telling folks that you've got to run away from sin in order to live right? That it's not just about grace only. It's about holiness. The grace of God enables you, empowers you to live a holy life. That's what it does. Oh, that's just a catchphrase the Church of God folks be saying. No, it's not. It's reality. And they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does the scripture say? She shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. That's the word of God. Then if he didn't do that, he said, what we read something in John. It was speaking about they that commit sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. That's what the Bible says. Now, it's not, grace is going to cover that. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. No, God gives us grace. He gives us power. There's something about grace. Grace doesn't just cover sin. Grace empowers us and gives us authority over sin. What is it saying? What is the Scripture saying to us? Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What's a greater need than when I'm facing temptation? What is a greater need? I need the Lord. Lord, I need grace. What? To commit the sin and then for you to cover it? No, I don't even want to do it. You know, the reason we turn to the Lord is because you just get tired of sinning sometimes. Did you ever? Is that what happened to you? It's what happened to me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to live like this. I'm not happy. The things that are happening in my life, my life is just spiraling out of control. And the folks out in the world, folks out in the Christendom, is telling me that just do the best that you can. Try to live a modest and a moderate life. You can't live free from sin. Well, then why did Jesus die? What was the point? What was the point in you going through all of that? What was the point in you coming down here, walking for 33 years on the earth, being tempted of the devil? What was the point if you didn't give me the grace that I needed to do it? Why were you coming down here? To see if it could be done? Why did you say to make yourself of no reputation, but took him upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men? Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why don't you do that if you're not going to give me the power to do it too? Why did you leave me as an example? You said, he did no sin, left us as an example, did no sin, neither was guile found in his eye. Why is that my example if I can't do it? I say this often, the most cruel thing that a person can do is to hold a standard up so high that they know that I can't reach it. Why would I expect a little kindergarten to try to do trigonometry? Why would you expect me to try to do trigonometry? I'm not there. He's not there yet. So it would be cruel for you to flunk him out of kindergarten because he don't know his timetables. That's wrong. You're holding him to a standard that you did not give him the capacity to reach it. And now, grace is just going to cover it. No, we want something more than that. If I'm going to be held at this standard, I want you to give me the grace to be able to be held at this standard. And the Lord does that. And he doesn't hold us. He doesn't hold things against us. He doesn't hold things against us if we don't reach, if we're not there. I tell people, live where you are. Now, what does that mean? That you can sin more or less every day? No. You got to stop the sin business. But there are going to be some things, like a little child. There are things that you expect of a two-year-old, of a five-year-old that you don't expect of a two-year-old. Now, you can say that two-year-old, you're going to get a whipping because you know better. Right? But, Mama, he did it. Well, he's two. And he was following your example. You know better than that. And so the 5-year-old gets a whipping for doing the same thing that the 2-year-old said, now, baby, it's okay. It's all right. He's crying and he's all remorseful that he did it and his brother got in trouble about it. And now you're just going to give him another chance. That's what we do, isn't it? And it's fair, isn't it? It's fair. Lord, help us. The Lord is fair. He's righteous. That's what righteous means. That is right. It's right all the way around. And you can look at it from every angle and it's still right. All right, Lord, help us. Let's go a little farther here. We read, okay, now let's go to Matthew, the 26th chapter and 14th verse. I want to talk a little bit about when you're talking about value, we were talking about that they went and they sold all that they had. And so there was this exchange. When you buy something, what are you doing? You're exchanging money for something that you feel is equal to the value of the money that you have. Now, you know, I think all of us work, those of us that work, we understand a little bit more the value of the dollar. I mean, have you ever gone to McDonald's and I've done it. I don't eat at McDonald's very often, very, very seldom. I don't eat out like that anymore. But I used to, and I remember, you know, I'm one that, food, I love food. But I don't like paying a lot of money for it. I'm really not a cheapskate. I don't think you would call me a cheapskate. But when you go to McDonald's and you think, you know, I pay $15 for this. $15, $12, I don't know what it is. But let's just say $15 for this meal, and y'all had it under a heat lamp. I pay $15 for this, and let's see how.
If I make $15 an hour, it took me a whole hour to buy this meal. Have you ever thought of it like that? Now that's a whole hour that I sat at that desk or whatever I did, making $15 an hour, whatever people make, and I bought this sandwich under a heat lamp that somebody threw together without love. Now, how much money could I have taken? How many? I could have gone and bought a loaf of bread. I could have bought some better sandwich. Some sandwich. I could have ate for a week of what I just spent here. Oh, y'all. I grew up eating at home, right? I love to eat at home. But I eat out quite a bit, too. But it's value, all right? Where were we here? All right, 26 verse 14. All right, so we want to go. There's an exchange. Well, we're saying that there's an exchange, and we want to make certain that exchange is worth what we're exchanging, the value is worth. All right, let's go. Matthew 26, verse 14. Yes. He went unto the chief priest. He said unto them. Okay, so that's what I want to stop. Because he's talking about Judas is betraying the Lord. He said, what will you give me? What's in it for me? So you look at it and you say, well, what is in it for me? What will you give me in exchange for what you're asking for? Now, what Judas didn't realize is he was selling his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And some people do that for what you put in the amount. You put in the amount. Well, you want, I don't want to be lonely. Sell all as you have. So I'm going to marry this person that I know I shouldn't marry because I don't want to be lonely. Lord wants me to be happy. He does. But do you know what? The Lord will make you happy. But you got to sell everything. It's all or nothing. And people aren't willing to do it. They're not willing to sell everything that they have to get what the Lord has for them. And the Lord says, I'm not going to give it to you. So if somebody comes up to you and says, all right, whatever amount your car is worth, they come up and they say, hey, I'll give you $500 for that car. I'll give you $500 right now. It's in my pocket. You're thinking, no, a car's worth $25,000. I'm not going to give you for $500. But you know, that's how people are selling their soul. The devil comes up and he says, the devil presents that to Judas's mind. He said, what will you give me? So he's concerned about that. Something about Judas and money. Judas wasn't very good with money. And the Lord knew that, though. The Lord gave him warning. And so we've got to be careful about where our lacks are and where we know that there are some issues in our own lives, and we've got to protect those. Just Judas would have been better off protecting and saying, you know what, Lord, I am so tempted with this money. You know what? If you are tempted with money, you probably should not work at the bank. Right? You probably shouldn't be a teller, because the devil's going to present to your mind how to beat the system. And trust me, they already know. They already know what to look for. All right, so if you're having temptations here that, and my rent is due, and I'm doing it, and you're counting in one and two, and you're doing all that to somebody else, and you're thinking, I can slip one of these in my pocket, and that'll take care of all my problems. No, they're just starting. But the devil will make you to think that you can just that this is one, two, that you can do this. But if that's your temptation, stay away from the bank. Yeah. All right, let's go a little farther. Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 8. Yes. The devil taking him up to a exceeding high mountain, all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto them, all these things will I give to you. What was the caveat? What was the reason? I'll give you all of this. And he shows everybody, I'll give you all of this. And he says, if you will fall down and worship me. And worship me. And you know what I see that's happening in the world today? I see people falling down and worshiping him for much less than all the kingdoms of the world. I see folks falling down and worshiping him for a lot, and they sold their soul for 30 pieces of silver. They said, and the devil said, I'll give you all of this. I'll make you happy. Let me tell you, Judas wasn't happy with that 30 pieces of silver, was he? All the money in the world, all the value in the world was not worth him selling out Jesus Christ.
So whatever you've got, whatever it is, well, you know, what do we do nowadays? We believe in bargains. I am a bargain shopper. I wouldn't have anything if I didn't, nothing that I have, almost anything I have, chances are we didn't pay full price for it. Except for my salvation. By the help and the grace of God, I'm paying full price for it, and I want quality. We don't just want something that's going to work. We don't want something that looks pretty. We want something that's, that has quality behind it. This is what we're talking about when it talks about salvation. You want quality salvation. These little things that you get at the dollar store. Let me tell you, dollar store is nice. Everything is a dollar, but it ain't going to last. If you want just something to look pretty and shiny and the glittery and whatnot, go to the dollar store. But let me tell you, if it's worth a dollar, somebody made some money off of it. They know the value is less than a dollar because they made it, whatever, whatever it was. You understand what I'm saying? So what we want, I don't want a pretty salvation. I want something that works. I want something that when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, I want to make certain that it works. It'll get me out of the situation that I'm in. It'll help me through the temptations. It'll help me through the processes and the difficulties of life. That's what I want. And it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me something. And I must be willing to pay for it. And if I'm not willing to pay for it, then give me this little pretty something. And then when it comes time for you to do whatever you need to do, it breaks. Lord have mercy. This is what people's salvation is. This is what people's, I put that in quotation, this is what people's Christianity is doing. They're going places, and when it really comes down, they can live a good, upstanding life like the rich young ruler, but they know that there is something lacking down in the depths of their being. They know it. What lack I yet? But it's too expensive. It requires me to sell everything that I have for me to get this, and I'm just not willing to do it. The value, yes, I know it's valuable, but let's try to find something that's at a better bargain. So they go and find something at a better bargain. And it satisfies for a certain period of time. Let me tell you. So we say, you know what? McDonald's food is cheap to some degree. It's cheaper than what you'd go and get it at some more quality food. But you know, it'll kill you eventually. If you keep eating it, it will kill you. Literally. You know the reason... Listen, I know I need to lose a few pounds, but you know the reason you go to high school nowadays? You know, when I was in high school, there were probably just a few overweight people. Now, it's just a few people that aren't. You understand what I'm saying? You know why? Because we've eaten the wrong stuff. We're putting the wrong stuff in our bodies, and we're not exercising. The kids are standing before, sitting on their phones and working the games. We used to be out running. We'd be running down the street, rolling tires. That's what we did. I don't know if y'all did that. But we rolled tires, and we would find stuff to do. You remember the time when you take an old piece of plywood and take the rim of a bicycle and nail it on there and put it up on the pole, and that's your basketball goal. We did that. We were out doing it. We weren't looking at something. It wasn't observation. We participated. All right. Well, all this will I give thee, the devil says. Well, I think that may be enough for us to get a hold of. I feel like what the Lord wants us to do, that you know what value is. You know what the value is. And the Lord is telling us the value that you have, that you know is in Christ, is just a little while that you got to live right, that you got to live saved. It's just a little while. In the whole scheme of your existence, I'm going to be throughout all eternity. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know what? I was telling my wife, I said, so-and-so, a particular person that I know and love. And I said, they're dead. It's hard for me to believe. It's almost hard for me to wrap it around my mind. And I thought, you know, I wonder if the little things, the trinkets and the things that they were so important to that person, I wonder if they're important to them now. It's not. The great value is in salvation, and I thank the Lord that this individual gave their heart to the Lord, and I believe they're in heaven right now. It's valuable, and they understood the value of it, and they begin to say, I've got to lay aside these things. I don't care what people think. I'm getting ready to die
and I'm going to be with the Lord throughout all eternity. I want to make certain that this doesn't hinder me, or that doesn't hinder me, or that doesn't hinder me. I want to sell everything that I have. It doesn't matter, because right now, as I face death, as I face it, the only valuable thing to me right now is Christ. Not what I'm able to wear or not wear. Not where I'm able to go or not go. Not what I'm able to enjoy and eat and not eat. None of that is of any value to me. It's of value to us. Now, not the nice car that I'm driving and all that. BMWs, Mercedes, Lexus, whatever it is. That's not important right now. What's important is my relationship with the Lord. What's valuable is my relationship with the Lord. And so now, if that's what's valuable in the end, and I've seen it, I've seen people die. And I, as a pastor, I've been there. I prayed with them at their deathbed. And they, you know what they start doing? They start laying aside things. They start selling stuff. I'm working with a person that, as people move out of houses, you know, I've been in real estate. As they move out of houses, what people want to sell their things, just get rid of that. We're just getting rid of stuff because I'm not taking it to my new house. You can't take it to your new house. You can't take nothing here to your new house. You might as well sell it. Get something new over there. Sometimes, have you ever walked through your house and saw how much junk you got? Lord help us. You saw all the broken down stuff that you thought was valuable. Well, that has some sentimental value, but that's about all. Throw it away. Listen, I'm talking to myself. Throw it away. We got so much clutter, so much junk. We just went out and spent money. Sell it. Now we have so much spiritual clutter. What, so many thoughts, so many ideas, so many philosophies. Sell them. And buy the truth and don't sell it. Amen. Hold on to it. Pass it down from one generation to the next to the next. I understand why the scripture says that teach it to your children and your children's children. I have a responsibility not only to my children, but I have it to my grandchildren to live the life before them. Yes. Yes. That this is valuable, little Levi. This is valuable, little Nora. This is valuable. Yes. I taught it to your parents and now I'm teaching it to you. You live for the Lord. It's the most valuable thing that you could possibly do. Isn't that the truth? All right. Then, did you find the feel? You see the feel? You see the little pearl? Just a little pearl. It's not big. You can stick it in your pocket. But it's valuable. Pearl of great price. The most valuable thing that you have, and the only way that you get it. You know the cost of salvation is exactly the same as it's always been. You sell everything that you have. What did the Lord say to the disciples when he was going by and he said, follow me, and they left all, and they followed him. That's what we have to do today. May the Lord help us to sell it all out and follow the Lord. Pray for me. Let us stand and have a number. 466A.